And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm your worst enemy.
Today on the show, aging better.
Age can bring isolation and loneliness, among other things. So we'll be talking to BAB about the issues.
And Figmentasia, quest for the truth.
Author Russell Scott Emery joins us too.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Everyone.
Hello.
How are we all?
Good evening, one and all.
So, yes. Are we all good?
Not bad at all.
All good.
It's quite quiet. There's only three of us this week.
Yeah.
So, and we've been naughty as well. Our guest that we're talking to later is here because we've been in here for a little while. So, yes. Hello, Sharifa.
Hi.
So we will be talking to Sharifa in more detail later.
Yes, we will. Yeah, on a very important subject. I'm very, very close, very to my heart. Age.
Age, yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm not there yet, although I do feel old. I hit 40 years. And what's that in gay years? 230? Is it?
Hey, I got one word for you all. Trainbow.
Trainbow, yes.
Yes.
I think it's quite cool. Do you want to explain?
Darren, who looks after Bristol Pride, and Nigel, who looks after Western Pride, went up to London. GWR have rainbowed a high-speed train.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one, I guess, is going to be running from Paddington to Cardiff, because Pride Cymru were also tweeting about it.
So, but Pride what?
Cymru.
So, OMG, I'm talking to a Welsh person and talking Bristolian.
Cymru. How do you say it?
You say it Cymru.
Cymru.
Oopsie.
Oopsie.
Yeah, I'll never get on
I'm
the
I'm only beer. Teasing it's, you,
it's,
Steph.
It's all right. All these years, she still hasn't realised there's tease in Shout Out either. It's, you know, it's yes. Shout Out.
I love Steph's accent.
So we all love Steph's accent, but it's still funny.
Careful.
Careful.
You mean you like the extra R's and the L's?
I liked what?
Thanks.
Anyway, yes, no, train, isn't it? It's really cool.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a shame that we haven't got a rainbow bus like London has.
No, and as we were talking about earlier, there is a rainbow police car though, which is quite cool.
Yes, and First Bus will be giving free rides to people who have wristbands.
Yes, so get your wristband beforehand. I'm sure we're talking to Darren in the next few weeks, aren't we?
Yes, we are, yeah, sure. And Nigel,
yes, yeah. Yes. And first year ever, not only are we broadcasting Bristol Pride live all day, we're also going to be broadcasting Western Supermare Pride. Now, they're on different stations, so Bristol Pride will go out here on BCFM and Pirate Nation Radio.
Pirate Nation, yeah, and Radio WSM will be taking Western Supermare Pride.
Yeah,
brilliant.
So
yeah, and I guess what actually Pirate Nation is probably going to be taking Western Pride as well.
I would imagine so. Yes. Yeah. So depending on which one it is, it'll be different stations we broadcast on. But yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? First year we've ever done Western Supermare
Pride. A live
Pride,
broadcast. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would be really good.
Bucks Fizz at Western. Alexandra Burke.
Is it not?
Snapper,
it's not Bucks Fizz, isn't it? It's just Bucks.
Well, there's three of them.
It's
yeah.
Cheryl,
they've got
Mike
a new album. They're doing an album, aren't they? Yeah, it's due out in September.
So, and yes. Not only Alexandra Burr, Snap.
Snap. Oh my God. Yes, we got it. Do you want to sing it again, Terry? You were singing it earlier.
Yeah, I got the power.
There you go. Yeah, please don't do that again.
Oh dear, it's just we'll have to cut the music out of the show, really, is it, Terry? Never mind.
We'll cut you out after.
Yeah. Actually, on an emergency, if BCFM's records fail or tracks fail, I come in and sing all the music all
day. That's very true.
No, if you think we don't have all the recordings of things like when the station's broken down in the middle of Shout Out and you've had to do the jingles, you're very much mistaken. We have the whole lot somewhere. So I think I've even got one of you and Steph singing the backing to the news or something at one point. It was quite funny, wasn't it?
Yes, so. That's the blackmail thing, isn't it? I thought I'd have paid you enough by now.
So anyway, it's time for this week's My 5. Now, as we always say, it is a specially designed slot on the show where pretty much anyone who has a story they can tell in 5 minutes can send it in to the show. So if you are listening and you feel that you have something that the LGBT plus or their allies would like to hear that you could put together in under 5 minutes, you can record it on your phone or if you're clever enough, you can use your kit at home with mics and whatever you may have and send it in to us. Get in contact with us. You can use Contact Us page on the website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. This week it's the turn of regular friends of ours. This is Brigstow.
My five on Shoutout.
Hi everyone, so we're this is the fourth episode of Brigstow 5. My name's Polly, I'm the campaigns manager at Brigstow.
And my name is Alid and I am a positive speaker, outreach worker, general volunteer for Brigstow.
And Wonder Man.
Wonder Man. And together we are Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi. We are a power force in the HIV world.
We are. And next month will be something else. For those of you who don't know, Brigstow are a local HIV charity here in Bristol. And we provide services to people living with HIV, as well as kind of do education and awareness raising and things like that. This month, we're going to talk to you about the importance of having like a public presence or a public voice. Brigstow, I think historically we're quite quiet, and over the last couple of years, we've really got louder on HIV issues. Something that I think is incredibly important to challenging stigma, discrimination, all of that. So it falls with me. It's my role to kind of do that, things like this podcast. Alid is a volunteer who does positive speaking, so helps us with that mission of being loud and proud.
As much as I can. I'm usually quite quiet.
Really quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's roll with that. So like Polly was saying, like historically for me, it was Brigstow. You only knew about Brigstow if you were HIV positive, and even then it was if you went actively looking for that, I think is the general feeling amongst a lot of people. Whereas now we are more present, we are loud, we have more of a presence and we are more visible. And that in itself, for a whole manner of different reasons, is only going to be a positive.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the work we do is amazing, but as you said, people haven't necessarily known about us. And since we've started talking to more people, like the feedback's been amazing. And it gives the opportunity for people, more people living with HIV and more people like wanting to get involved in the cause, opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and it also just it hammers home a really important kind of message and a real visual that if you're seeing an organisation which is directly there to benefit you out in your communities, championing for you and providing that voice that you may not have found yourself yet, just as a visual without having to need those vocal conversations, is a massive visual aid, and it can help people in ways that you may never know.
Which
is just amazing.
And we've definitely heard that from like LGBT bars and community and groups saying, like, we want to see you here. It's important.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that like an organisation like Brigstow, which is for people living with HIV and to provide them with that support, that it just, yeah, seeing them in your communities means that they're there for you and you know that they're always going to be there for you. And it's just really nice to have them there.
Yeah, that kind of helping hand if you need it.
Yes.
So on that note, we've got loads and loads of public events coming up over the summer and probably for the rest of the year. But we thought we'd just tell you about some key ones.
It would be really lovely to see as many of you as possible. You can come and meet me and Polly and a lot of the other volunteers. But it would just be really nice to have those conversations come up, say hey, and come and talk to us. So Polly, where can they find us?
So I think the next public event we're going to be doing is on the 24th of June. We're going to be at Refugee Week Festival, which For those of you who don't know, is a little festival in Queen's Square in Bristol, and it's just lovely. It's cute, it's lots of good music, they're celebrating the benefits that refugees bring to this country, so we'll be there.
The 1st of July, we are going to be in Old Market at the Old Market Assembly. There is a night there for a talent competition for new and up-and-coming drag queens. It's called Alyssa's Search for a Star, and we are going to be there raising money and spreading the word.
And you, I think, are a judge.
I am a judge.
Is that right?
I am.
Yeah.
And I will be in full drag regalia as well.
Absolutely amazing. Do you, will you give added points for people whose HIV knowledge is like top spot?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes.
Note that, guys. The 10th of July, the Old Market Assembly again are putting on, in the Wardrobe Theatre, the HIV monologues. Which is a performance piece, but Alan and I will be there as well. So come by and say hi. And then following that, we're just at, you know, Bristol Pride, Western Supermare Pride, St. Paul's Carnival. So loads of different ways
Harbour
to get involved.
Fest. So, yeah, if you see us at one of there, we will be loud. We will be proud. Come and say hello. Come and get involved.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The greatest show, obviously. Absolutely brilliant film. If you haven't seen it, I strongly suggest you go.
And you're not even out of breath.
No.
You were in time with Terry. That was good syncing, guys. Yeah. Good syncing.
Yeah, me and the husband watched that last weekend, and we were just sat there just in absolute awe of it.
You were drooling,
yeah,
were you?
It was brilliant. It's so good. It's and it was really cool. We got a song on the show later on, and the other one, This Is Me, is rapidly becoming a kind of gay anthem, isn't it?
It is. It's powerful stuff.
This is me. It's, you know, yeah. It's like I am what I am.
Yes.
That kind of ilk, isn't it? So, yeah. Anyway, now we're talking about a subject now that's a little bit close to a fair few of our hearts, actually, because I have
more
to admit,
to mine.
Something I worry about too, and that's being LGBT plus and getting older.
Yes.
Which is why Shafira is here.
Sharifa,
that's your fault. You typed it wrong.
I thought you
I did not even write it right. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. So anyway, well, welcome, Shout Out.
Thank you.
Now, you're from an organisation called BABA? BABS?
BAB. Yeah, Bristol Ageing Better.
So, can you give us an idea of kind of like how it came about and the kind of things that you do?
Yep, so my job is brand new. I'm in 3 weeks into my position, and it's a full-time role dedicated to supporting LGBT plus older adults in Bristol.
Cool. So how long has it been going, though? Has it been going longer than 3 weeks, or is it literally that new?
Literally, this job is completely brand new. It's a whole new role that I've done before in Bristol.
Oh, wow.
Are you run by Age UK, or are you part of Age UK, or are you a separate, or are you just associated with them rather than running with them?
It's confusing, because it's both. It's all of the above.
Oh, is that?
We're
okay.
Separate, but right. We're also...
You work closely with
closely
them.
Closely together, right. Yeah.
Because there's an Age UK Bristol,
Age UK
isn't
Bristol,
there?
Yeah. We work in their offices, but we're also separate, but we do stuff with them as well, so it's all very confusing, but we're kind of separate but the same.
Okay, so a bit incestuous.
Yeah, just a bit.
So what kind of issues are you finding that are specific to the LGBT community that mean that we need the kind of separation?
I think it's quite hard to pinpoint it, because my job is asset-based, so I have to go out into the community and find what the issues are from individuals, and then from that feedback I have to help support them. So there's nothing yet that I found in particular, but I think the government findings are that people who are LGBTQ plus and older, they are more at risk than other demographics in the community. So,
right. Okay. I mean, the reason I know it's slightly different for you, Stefan, I don't know if you share this same view, Terry, but for me personally, being a gay man who's married is the most wonderful thing in the world. But in realistically, we're both in our 40s. We're not planning on having kids. We don't have another generation like other members of my family do. And one of my biggest concerns is getting old and one or the other of us passing away before the other one.
Yeah.
And there is no support network because we don't have the younger generation below us. Yeah. And it does worry me what I'll do in that situation if it happens to be me that's in that situation. Is that something you thought about, Terry?
It is. A lot. An awful lot. Yeah. Ever since, you know, I think it's something that LGBT people, well, certainly gay men and perhaps to a lesser extent lesbians, because traditionally lesbians have tended to have kids, you know, more statistically than gay men. But when I came out, you know, it was an issue. I always thought, what's going to happen to me when I'm older?
Yeah.
And in those days, you couldn't get married or things like that, you know. So.
But I mean,
but it is always, it's on the back of your mind,
So is that something?
Yeah,
that
I think that's actually come up quite a lot, actually, with many people that I've met. Maybe met like, you know, 6 or 7 people, but that has been the most common thing. They're worried about when they're older and their partner may pass away or they might get dementia. What will happen to them going into a home? And then, you know, people in care homes aren't that well trained to deal with people who are LGBT, and also the pressure of their peers as well of being an out, you know, LGBT person in a care home. So it's like multiple issues there, and they're really quite concerned about that and trying to figure out how that's going to plan out for them, you know, when it comes to that moment in their life.
Do you also get the other one of, you know, because and it is a generational thing, because hopefully it will go back the other way, much like marriage equality has. But certainly my generation, at least, and certainly the older ones, I don't know if this is something you'd agree with, Steph, worry about going into a care home with people who are heterosexual, who may not be as, you know, accepting.
Tolerant,
tolerant. Especially because of the age difference as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a generational thing, prejudice, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
The youth are coming up through, to me, seem less prejudiced.
Yeah.
Not just about LGBTQ, about colour, ethnicity, religion. There's a lot more a chilled attitude to things coming through. But like,
yeah, definitely.
The people that you're talking about are old now, tend to have a lot of prejudice, and that is the scary thing.
I think peer pressure is one of the worst things to go through in any age, peer pressure. And I think, you know, getting older and being around people who really just do not tolerate or even understand to any degree about being LGBT is really, really tough. But I think there's been a few things that have kind of happened now. So there's been one actually in London. It's an LGBT old people's home or caring, you know, care home for LGBT people. It's the first of its kind in the UK. And I think it's kind of on a trial basis, they're going to see how it goes, and if it goes well, they'll do it around the country. But what a great thing to be LGBT.
But it does then bring up another huge question. Is the generation that would need that at the moment being so suppressed for so long because of the inequality in the law, they may be too fearful to even say, yes, I'd like one. I'd like to go into an LGBT plus care home. You know, so I it's a slightly different story because you're not looking after the care home, but it does make me wonder, is that something they've taken into account? Will they run it for long enough to actually...
But hopefully there'll be more people like me around the country who will be helping and supporting LGBT people and finding the most isolated ones to help them be, you know, come out and feel more comfortable.
When we had the dementia wellbeing group in, I think that's, I find that quite fearful.
Yeah.
The dementia aspect for,
that's really
for
on the
a
rise
trans
at the moment.
Person.
Yeah.
That really scares me to death.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a big issue, dementia, at the moment. It's quite scary, actually.
I mean, they are making a lot of progress with the medical side of it, aren't they? But it's still a long way to go.
So take
me through what the aim is with you. Is it, you said you're going out trying to find people. How do you go about finding people who might like help, for want of a better way of putting it?
So I'm not targeting people who are already in established LGBT groups.
Right.
I'm trying to focus my time on finding the ones who aren't in those established groups and why aren't they going to those groups. So people who may be below the poverty line, who may be BME LGBT, you know, who might be disabled. So there may be barriers to them not joining those groups, and why aren't they? And I'm there to help support them with that and seeing if I can empower them and really make them realize their strengths, you know, and they can create their own group or their own project in their own area. So they've got to, you know, rely on me. They can kind of Do
you think that the BAME groups need more help than, say, white society because of the prejudice due to... They tend to be more religious.
Yeah.
So there's more prejudice within the ring family circles.
Yeah, that's... I've spoken to a lot of people about it, and they're all saying, you've got a tough job there in your hands. And it's going to be tough, but I like a challenge. And I'm happy to go in there.
No, and it's something it really needs doing.
I gave a talk yesterday where I had to talk to predominantly Muslim professionals about being BME LGBT, and initially I was a bit apprehensive. I didn't know how they're going to take it, and they listened and they asked questions, and the conversation was started. So
well, that's a fantastic step, isn't it?
Exactly.
If people asking questions and being a bit inquisitive means they've started to have an open mind.
Exactly.
And that's probably down to you, the way you've explained it and the way you've approached it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah.
Mm. But are you still there to be a resource that, if someone's, at the end of the day, too frightened to do something like join a group, etc., are you able to be a resource they can talk to get the support? Is that also the aim?
I mean, I've been going along to the LGBT walkout group on a Wednesday.
All right, yeah.
If anyone knows about that, it's a really fantastic group. Yeah. I recommend it. Wednesday.
We've heard that's a good thing. Loads of people have given positive feedback about that.
It's great, fantastic.
It's good if you're stressed or just need somebody to talk to. It's a relaxing way to do it.
It's a fantastic way of getting out, socialising, and talking to people who, can understand where you're coming from. It predominantly attracts people over 50 because it's in the daytime, so most people are normally working full-time. So you get people, 50 plus who attend, but they're all LGBT. It's just a great group. You walk around the harbour side for a couple of hours, you go for, some drinks and cake afterwards. It's fantastic.
Drinks and cake.
So what can you just say what day that is and what time, so people listening who don't know about Walkout can...
So it's called Walkout Bristol, I think. Yeah. It's on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock or 10:30, I can't remember.
Right, is that a harbourside near Harbourside, the watershed?
Yeah, it's outside the watershed on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock. It's fantastic. I really recommend it. Even if you're quite nervous to go, David and some of the other people that run the group are really, really friendly and really, really welcoming. So you're always going to feel, included. But it's a fantastic way of just getting out and meeting new people if you're really, isolated. And it's free. So it's a free walk, walking around. Yeah.
Cool. And it's one of those subjects. I think it's one we're going to have to visit again, the whole getting older and how you cope with it.
Well, this is the second time in just a month that we've revisited this. So I think you're right. We need to keep on top of this and keep in touch with your group to see how you're doing.
Do you have, there will be people listening who are kind of like, I don't know that I actually want to go talk to a group, and like, can they get hold of you?
There's
easily?
No group. Yeah, it's just I'm talking to individuals. The LGBT walkout is a separate thing to what I'm doing.
No, I know. But you were saying you're encouraging people who are kind of isolated and to try and join groups and like. What I'm saying is, if there are people who are listening who are just like, well, I don't know where to start, etc., or I just want someone to talk to.
I'm that person.
And want to get hold of you. Yeah. How do they get hold of you?
So there's a few ways. We have a website which is BAB, which is BristolAgingBetter.co.uk. I think if you type in
.org.uk, apparently.
Yep. That's what it is. I knew that. Just testing you. Well done.
Just testing. Well done, Andy.
You can go to the website and you can find my information about what I do and how to contact me. Failing that, I have an email address, which is swhitneyjames@aiduk.bristol.org.uk.
Marvellous, cool. Well, listen, I know it's very early days, so what we'll have to do is make sure that we book in a catch-up with you when you've been doing the job for a few months, see how it's going, see what you found out as well. Because, we have our own views.
It'd be good to feedback, wouldn't it, about what
So, and likewise, if you're listening and you want to get in contact and you want to do it through us, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt is the address you need. But for now, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. News headlines up next.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Paradise by George Ezra. Real kind of summary one, that one. Not a steffy one, no. No.
It's bouncy enough.
Yeah.
It's okay for GBH on a Friday.
Yeah. I kind of thought, kind of in the mood Pride type thing.
Hmm.
So, it'd be nice to have him at Pride one year, wouldn't it, George Ezra?
Yes.
That'd be amazing. Yes. So, anyway, looking forward to Pride this year.
Yes, Alexandra Burke.
Hmm. But in the meantime, we could do with some news headlines, if you'd be kind enough.
I'll supply them.
We'll be right back.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 7th of June. Now, lots of our listeners to community radio will be aware of the debt the sector owes to pirate radio stations for opening up broadcasting. But what of pirate TV? Well, our media watchers report that television piracy is relatively rare in the UK. Thameside Television was operational in 1984, and then there was Network 21 in South London in 87, which put out a radical weekly broadcast which featured regular contributions from the androgynous musician Genesis P. Orridge and the AIDS activist Simon Watney. Now, however, a group of cheeky internet pirates have shown the Congress of California what they think of the democratic process by hacking a video cast of live debates with gay pornography. Footage of gentlemen engaged in various scenarios was screened before the webcast was stopped. GayStar News notes that the use of homoerotic piracy can be a powerful gesture to various bigots, and cites the hacking of pro-fundamentalist websites with gay porn as a prime example. Fault lines in the political left's approach to women's rights have been thrown into sharp relief by the leader of the Labour Party in Scotland, Richard Leonard. Reviewing the case, writing in the communist daily paper The Morning Star, correspondent Marilyn Warbis argues men of the left must relax their grip on socialism and power battles with other men in order to make space for women's issues. On the other hand, The Morning Star paper has itself been criticised for publishing a considerable number of articles over the past 3 years by feminists who wish to exclude trans people from the labour movement. Writing in another leftist paper, Solidarity and Workers' Liberty, Elizabeth Butterworth says The Morning Star does have a right to publish these articles. They're not hate-filled bile, although they are poorly argued and illogical and make trans people feel excluded from the labour movement. The June issue of Iron Fist, which covers the classic heavy metal genres, is out now. The cover stars are the famous British metal band Judas Priest, whose lead singer Rob Halford came out in an interview with the US gay paper The Advocate back in 92. Iron Fist's editor wrote, "Who better for our cover than modern metal's most towering progenitors, the mighty Judas Priest, currently traversing the globe on a tour that takes them across the States to Bloodstock and beyond." The magazine is available now at larger newsagents and record shops. The gay broadcaster Scott Mills has become one of the first people to end a show on BBC Radio 1 and then start a show on Radio 2 a couple of minutes later, according to the industry website RCS. He hosted his usual weekday afternoon programme from 1 until 4 on Bank Holiday Monday, the 28th of May, and then ran over to the BBC Radio 2 studio for a 4 till 7pm remix show. And sticking with BBC Radio, BBC Radio's digital network 6 Music is celebrating women's voices with Hear Her Day, part of a BBC-wide season to mark 100 years since women won the vote. Listeners will be invited to create the playlist, sending in their favourite tracks, all by female artists, which will be aired on the air throughout the day from 7am to 7pm tomorrow, Friday the 8th of June. The station will also feature an all-female presenting lineup: Elizabeth Alka kicking things off, followed by Marianne Hobbs, Lauren Laverne, Liz Kershaw, and the lesbian impresario and club promoter, Amy LeMay. There will be another chance to hear Six Music's celebration of the gay icon Grace Jones in a show called Amazing Grace, presented by Gemma Kearney. BBC Radio Six Music, founded in 2001, is considered to be the corporation's serious music network and is programmed from Broadcasting House in London on digital platforms. The best-selling British black newspaper, The Voice, has added its considerable voice to the praise for the Reverend Michael Bruce Curry, who appeared to give a blessing and address at the recent wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Reverend Curry is the first African-American leader of the Episcopal Church, which is the American branch of Anglicanism and which is very gay-friendly. Writing in The Voice paper, the correspondent Leah Sinclair noted, "Reverend Curry quoted Martin Luther King Jr. and touched on themes of universal love and slavery with a cadence which is steeped in African-American religious tradition that will be familiar to many black people. The Reverend Curry has also written a book about inclusive and accepting Christianity called Crazy Christians, A Call to Follow Jesus." And finally, several LGBT bloggers have been urging the community to support Lush, the ethical cosmetics and toiletries chain, which has come under astonishing fire from the Daily Mail newspaper. The Mail, which is considered by some people to be implacably homophobic and transphobic, attacked the popular store because of its latest political campaign exposing the activities of police infiltration into environmental, animal rights and other progressive movements. Now, in the past, it is commonly believed that LGBT activist groups such as the GLF, Outrage and the Lesbian Avengers were also targeted for this type of police infiltration, although in recent years this is believed to have dropped away given that gay and trans rights have become more mainstream. You can find out more though at the Lush website, to which we have linked on our news page. For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News this evening, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News, national and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Still love that one. That's a favourite from a while back, actually. That's 1 minute more by Capital Cities. Again, another kind of summary one. So, one more song to go, which is This Is Me, which is coming up later, which is from The Greatest Show.
Yeah.
Which is becoming a very well-known gay anthem, actually.
Very catchy tune, yes.
Yeah, so. Is that your cup of tea, Steph?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's poppy and okay.
So, anyway, would you like to introduce our next guest for me?
Yes, we have Russell Scott Emery on the line, hopefully. Are you there, Russell?
I am here, yes.
Thank goodness for that.
Technology works.
Yes. Yeah, we're always a bit trepidatious when it comes to our phones in the studio.
So I'm getting better with them, I have to admit. It worked this time. So hello, Russell.
Hi.
Right, now you've just written a book.
I have indeed, yeah. I've published my first novel through self-publishing.
Right. Figmentasia, The Quest for Truth.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah.
So do you want to give us a bit of a summary for listeners? What's the book about?
Okay, so it's aimed at 8 to 14-year-olds. And it revolves around a boy called Tebbin who, when he gets his emotions are heightened, turns into a fairy princess called Thelba. And Thelba's evil aunt, the queen, is out to get her, and through a series of quests with Greek gods and some made-up gods, she has to find her identity.
Amazing.
Wow. Yes, that does sound very fantasy-like. Why did you decide to go for that age group?
Well, originally, it was going to be an illustrated storybook, younger age bracket, and the reason was just because the schools now, you've got trans kids coming out at schools, and there's a huge backlash, and I wanted to have something where it was just presented as normal and a wholesome image. Equally, I've got nieces and nephews that range from 6 to 11. And as the story ideas progress, it's like, well, I need to look at a slightly older age bracket. So hence going for the 8 to 14-year-olds. My nieces and nephews, I aimed at writing it initially for them.
Have they read it?
They're reading it.
Oh, right. So what do they think?
It's amazing because one of the main characters is actually named after one of my nephews.
Oh, right.
And in the sequel novel, he's going to become he's going to have a gay relationship. And I contacted my sister and I said, look, you know, should I change his name? And she's like, let me have a chat with him. And he turned around and goes, no, Mum, he goes, what Uncle Leafy's doing, because that's what they call me. But it's absolutely amazing. I think it's brilliant what he's doing for kids. And my sister was absolutely floored because she didn't expect that kind of response.
Yeah, see how kids are so open-minded. It's us adults that have issues, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally what you program your child to think is what the moral compass is, what they grow up with.
Mm. How long did it take you to actually get the book together, get the ideas on paper before you actually started writing it?
So it took about 2-3 months of working out the full story arc. And I'd initially started writing it from the word go. Then I went in and started writing the quest parts because that interested me more. And that's a great thing about non-linear writing nowadays, with the software that you can get, is you don't have to write in any particular order of the book. And then I realised that what I'd written for the first 3 chapters had to be scrapped because it didn't fit in.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, it wasn't, because it made the start a much more punchier and it flowed more. So it's that thing of kill your darlings to get a better story.
And did I hear you write, the sequel is already planned as well now?
Well, yeah, so the sequel, the whole thing's plotted and laid out, and I've written 2 chapters of it already. It's a tough one, because the first one has a lot of Greek mythology in it. The new one, I'm trying to pull in Norse and Chinese mythology.
Well, that's going to get complex,
so lots of research has to be done then. Yeah. So, very quickly,
my gosh, yes.
Very quickly, because we are unfortunately running out of time. Give the name of your book again. I'm assuming, is it available from all good booksellers and all the electronic ones?
Yeah. It's all online. None of the bookstores were trying to get Waterstones to stock it in store, but the easiest place to buy it is actually Waterstones website or Amazon.
Marvellous.
Okay.
Cool. And the name of the book is
Pigmentasia, The Quest for Truth.
Marvellous. Thank you. Well, listen, it's been lovely to talk to you, Russell, and best of luck
with
the book.
Thank you so much.
Keep in touch. Perhaps we'll have to catch up with you when we have the sequel.
Yes. And I love the artwork, Russell. Love the artwork.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Cool. Listen, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Oh yeah, that's called This Is Me.
Yes.
You see why it's an anthem now?
It is. It's very much a sort of torch song.
Mm.
Wave your lighters, if they still allow you to do that, wave your lighters in the air.
I played it on this show when you were away.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was months ago.
Well, I played it again.
I played all the anthems. In fact, Nicky French...
Nicky French,
yeah,
good
anthem.
No, not that one.
No,
there was She's Got Gay Anthem. The title, I shouldn't have mentioned it, because now the title is left my head. It fell out on the floor and it's gone under the desk. Can I just mention that When in Rome launches a fundraising campaign for Just Like Us?
Oh,
and every third Thursday,
they do a mini podcast now.
Yeah,
don't they?
Every third Thursday, and they're going to be sponsored. When in Rome, they're a premium bag in the box wine company.
Oh, very nice.
And they're going to be giving some of their proceeds to Just Like Us. That's absolutely fantastic. So, well done, you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. Excellent stuff.
Nice to see the support.
Good news, yeah.
It is good news.
You had another one, didn't you?
What?
You had another story you wanted to
tell. Just to mention that at Trinity Centre, tomorrow at 7:30, You've Changed by Kate O'Doyle. It's a show about change, Kate's change, and a world which is trying to catch up. So you need to get down. I think there's some tickets available. So if you go on the Trinity website, then you can go to the ticket store from there. It's £11 standard and £9 concessions, but there is a 16-plus age limit. Worth a look. That's being brought to you by Ignite and Beacons, Icons and Dicons.
Yes.
Marvellous. That's Tom Marshman, isn't it?
Yes, it's Tom. Yes. Yes, well spotted. Yeah. Did you hear today that Trump accused the Canadians last night in a phone call between Trudeau and himself? Because Trudeau phoned him and said about... this is a tenuous LGBT link, but it's a good story.
Yeah.
He called him and said, how is blocking or putting 25% on our steel a security issue? How is Canada a security issue? And Trump said, well, you burnt the White House down in 1812 war. Now, Canada didn't exist till 1867, and the burning took place in 1814, and it was done by the British Army.
So that's us.
He's the only time that Washington was ever...
So you mean Trump got another fact wrong? I mean, he's got a long history of doing that, hasn't he?
Totally.
Did you know in the 30s, the United States had plans to invade Canada?
Did they?
Yeah, it's still taught in Canadian schools. When my father said it, I said, you've been watching too many conspiracy programs on Russia Today, on that TV channel.
Did you know the Martians landed in New York in the 20s as well?
Is that the Orson Welles?
Yes.
A lot of people won't know what we're talking about.
No, but they
left. Well, they might have seen the recent remake, of course, because it was a Tom Cruise film, wasn't it?
But in the original radio cast, half of New York
believed it.
They thought they were being attacked.
It's because I think ABC, the announcer, you see, under the ABC network, didn't say the following program is a drama. They just went straight into it. And it seemed to be, you know, live from Central Park. And a UFO has landed. And of course, millions of people believed
that. Kind of an accident was then repeated by ITV in the 90s when they did Ghost Watch.
BBC One. But
BBC
they did.
One, was it? Yes. Okay, I thought it was ITV.
Which is considered
a classic. Yeah. I remember watching it and I was scared to death. I turned the TV off and ran downstairs. Yes. It was because it wasn't really portrayed as, but it was portrayed as being live TV.
It said in the radio, it said in the Radio Times it was a drama, but the BBC let people believe that it was a real documentary. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's probably on YouTube or something, but worth a watch.
You could buy it, yeah.
That's it for this week. Don't forget, this year, Shout Out will be broadcasting live from both Bristol Pride and Western Pride. Tune in, your way down, or if you can't join us in person, party along at home.
To find out more, stay tuned or check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we revisit fostering and adoption.
But until then, from myself, Steph and Terry, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.